Let's start with audiovisual issues. Yay. Thank you. This is my way of, yeah. Hi. Can we make this work? More mate. I don't speak any German.
Did it work just some minutes ago?
I haven't seen it work. I came in and I plugged it in. Yay! And then cool. Again, let's give a huge round of applause for all the technical people who make shit happen. So this is my first Congress, and I came to camp this summer, and I was like, holy crap. When the world goes to hell, I want to be with these people. I always like to start with a disclaimer. I'm not an expert at this. I just thought, you know, I always think about these things, and I thought it might be helpful to some people, and if not, it would help me get organized. So, so I live in New York City now, and I was in the subway waiting for a subway, and there was this guy, and he was playing guitar and singing music, and he was singing love songs. And it was like he was opening up his chest and a rainbow was coming out. And everybody there was just like basking in the glow. And it was beautiful. And it was just like one of those beautiful moments that you feel like you should really pay a lot of money for. And as I'm listening to this beautiful music, uncaring how long the subway takes, this guy kind of shuffles beside me, and he just goes, it just gives you a shred of hope for the future of humanity. And it hit me like a sledgehammer, like, fuck off. But then I started like listening, and it turns out that if you listen for it, there's like a lot of people who are, well, there's a lot of hopelessness in the world. And then I started catching myself like being like, yeah, I like my country, but we're basically screwed. And then it started getting worse, so I thought I should probably shut up and do something a little bit. And so, I put this together, and you have to put up with it. So, thinking about the future and the possibility of Armageddon and stuff like this, when I was a school teacher, I had some time at the end of class, and I just asked my students to write down a few words about what they thought would happen in the future. And hopefully you can turn audio up if this audio works. If not, I'm going to be, I'll just drink more mate. That can go a lot louder. Awesome.
In the future, the world will be a better place. In the future, I wish everybody will be rich. In the future, there will be more voice-activated stuff.
Can you hear that at all?
In the future, there will be dolphin buses.
In the future, houses will float in the sky.
In the future, we'll be able to talk to aliens.
In the future, there will be a cure for AIDS.
In the future, we will live on the moon.
In the future, we will have cars that run on water.
In the future, everything will be technology.
In the future, we will have jetpacks.
In the future, everyone will drive submarines.
In the future, we will be able to travel through time.
In the future, the sun will be red.
In the future, they will have flying cars.
Sweet.
In the future, doctors will find a cure for breast cancer.
In the future, there will be big underwater cities.
In the future, they'll bring the dodo bird back to life.
In the future, the earth will blow up.
In the future, things will be snowy. Forever.
In the future, we will live on the moon.
In the future, pens will write at our command.
In the future, I will die.
In the future, dinosaurs will replace our pets.
In the future, we'll have World War III.
In the future, there will be flying cars.
In the future, something will happen.
So, those are my students. Yay. So the thing I like about that video is that I didn't expect to know what was going to happen, and there was some really like the smart asses who were like, I'm going to die, and there were the people who were like, I'd really like if there was a cure for breast cancer, and then there were, you know, kids who were kind of being silly and realistic at the same time, saying like, let's bring the dodo bird back to life. And that just made me happy that you can both be, like, in a group of people that can be like, okay, it's all going to hell, but it might be fantastic. So this is something that's interesting to me when I started doing research on the end of the world. There's this idea where, like, it used to be that you would... like, things would change by generation. You'd be like, yeah, in that generation, you know, they had just gotten TVs, and now in this generation, you know, we've got VHS. And that would take, like, a generation to get from, like, TV to VHS. But then, like, you notice we went from, like, VHS to laser discs to, you know, DVDs, and now HD, and now we just bypass all that and BitTorrent it. And... and it's accelerating is the idea. And so, like, I was apparently Generation X, and my brother was, like, he was 3 years younger than me. He's Generation Y, and then it's just changes. It used to be like, okay, I'm gonna have this way of life until I have kids, and I might have to shift a little bit, and then I'll die. So this is kind of an interesting thing, and many people will argue and use words like singularity, and talk about, like, that everything's changing so fast that it's gonna eventually, we'll become robots. And they might be right. So there's, like, the Mayan calendar saying the world's gonna end. There's, like, people are saying there's a white horse that's gonna arrive, and everybody's gonna be dying and be happy about it. And then, you know, there's Rick Ashley. The end is nigh. And, yeah. So to save the world, you have to choose to be a hippie or a geek. This is my friend Leo in Seattle. He gave this great presentation where he really basically said, if you want to actually make the world a better place, you should either be a hippie and try and, like, maintain and grow trees, or you should be a geek and just learn how to upload your soul to a hard drive so that you can just live forever and be happy. And, yeah. So there's all sorts of ways we could die. You know, somebody might come up with this really awesome, well, I actually had this idea before that movie came out, the one with the one about the zombies in New York City, that somebody might come up with this awesome genetic thing and then it would kill all white people or something. So now I'm getting kind of like, let's have a plan. Let's get serious. So a disaster plan involves having a communication system in place, a designated meeting place, somewhere to go away, cash, tools, and an OSK. That's an oh shit kit. And I bought DIYsurvival.org for fun and set up a wiki. And well, I don't think it's really the best way to aggregate information. You should just have friends. So the Mormons have got it together. I have friends, every Mormon I've ever met I've liked. And they have this whole thing that the world's going to end and they're going to be ready. And so this is an online calculator that you can put in for, they're also like, well, we need, you know, they have like organizations set up so that you can be like ready, and there's like, okay, you're going to get so many cans and you need to cycle through them. They're really organized, and I like that you can basically say how many people are in your family, and it tells you for just two people you need 600 pounds of grain. What's that? Oh, for a year. So then there's Sean Bonner's approach. I don't have a gun, but it's now at the top of my list. Okay. So I found this guy, Trebuchet03, who did an instructable on how to get ready for a hurricane. He's like, don't be stupid, trim your trees, don't park under them. And like, also don't trim your trees like the day before the hurricane, because those are all like things that are going to go through your windows. And he just threw his patio furniture in the swimming pool so it wouldn't get blown away. And he said, stay home, because everybody goes out sightseeing afterwards and dies. And then buy your plywood in advance so you don't get stuck buying the crappy crap, and get all your bits and stuff in advance. And then he said, buy beer and condoms. From the front row, very true, very true. She said, you want to do that? Trust me, you get bored. So I'm from Seattle before I lived in New York, and so I've been in a few earthquakes. And an earthquake, being in an earthquake with 30 screaming children is awesome. It started happening, and we were all kind of like, does that mean it's lunch? And and then, so, like, literally a second or two into it, a kid goes, it's an earthquake. And I went, get under the desks now. And they were all like, whoosh. Best instruction I've ever given, quickest response. And it turned out that we all enjoyed like making screaming noises when this was happening. It was really, they say don't panic, but it's actually like, you should try it. The other thing that happens when there's earthquakes is your power goes out, and hopefully, like, and places are closed, and you can only, you know, I guess you don't have to wear underwear, but it's handy. And the number one most important thing you should do when there's an earthquake is wear shoes, obviously, because there's, like, windows breaking everywhere, and there's glass everywhere, and it hurts. Okay, so you need communication, too. So, one of the themes for me of our time here is this idea of security through obscurity. Like with the, if you saw the steam-powered telex machine, they're like, they're shutting that network down on in January, and we're setting up a network to use it then too. So I like the idea that, like, okay, they're shutting it down, nobody's paying attention. Yeah, let's use that. So another thing, well, it's actually used quite a bit. If you're not a ham, if you're already a ham, you can just be like, yeah. If you're not a ham, you have to suffer through me talking about it for a second. What's that? Here. Oh, ham, yes. So go over there, they have tables about ham stuff. Awesome. So, just get your license, and I have some ideas about things I want to do with my hacker group in New York City, and I haven't really played with Echolink, although my aunt is, like, obsessed with it, and APRS is cool, used it on a balloon tracking project that, and if you do APRS with a balloon that's taking 20 megapixels of picture every 7 seconds, don't have the power for the cameras be the same power for the GPS and radio. That was a bad idea. Lost it. So Echolink is this idea that all the repeaters, pretty much all the repeaters have a transition to the internet. So, like, if you with APRS, one of the favorite things to do is have a GPS module that beacons your location over a radio, and then it puts it on the internet so everybody can watch where you are. Probably not so popular in here in this crowd, but cool to watch where other people are. So my dad is, like, he got really obsessed. So he's like, my family wants to survive. And so we have a farm, and we have sheep, and I'm vegetarian, but I'll eat them if the world's ending. And he's like, I'm going to do this right. I'm getting myself a little cabin. And he's actually completely useless. He can't really change a tire. So, but he does have some social skills. So he went to the ham radio folks, and he said, "I'd like to build the best possible ham radio station so that we can, as a team, win all the competitions. What would I do that?" And yeah, now he's got a 70-foot tower. I think it's actually 72, which is the limit. So to get your ham radio license, this is what you do. You go online. You go to, I think I have it here. You go to this microhams.com. These are the Microsoft people who are actually totally, the hams at Microsoft are a little bit subversive. And so they put out, of course, a PowerPoint with all the questions. And it's really easy. It says, okay, here's the PowerPoint slide. And then you're like, which one is it? Yeah, okay. It is, in fact, 12 volts. This is how hard this test is. So what do you convert radio signals into sounds? Ooh. But, you know, only about half of them are super easy. You can pretty much study for about 10 hours or less if you have photographic memory. And just go and pass this test. And then there's all sorts of projects. We're getting in kind of the section where I'm like, projects for the apocalypse. And my dad, actually, also not very good at making things. He really wanted his own Morse code transceiver, and he built it himself and was super proud. So APRS, a little bit about it, because this is kind of, we're all into packets, and packets are fun, and packets over radio are cool. And so I already talked about that. I like this deck phone thing. We need to import these. Okay. Okay, So I'm in New York. My aunt lives in Ithaca, New York. It's about 200 miles, but if there was something that happened in New York, which is quite possible, I would just get there. Alternately, I'd go to Bermuda. You can build a sailboat in your apartment, apparently. For the record, I didn't do these projects. I'm just showing you where they are on the internet. So you're going to need someplace to stay. This is a really cool thing called an Atlas Europa Sender. And the first version of this, I didn't find a picture of it, but the first version actually just has an 18-volt DeWalt drill. And there's some sort of mechanism there that basically you just attach it onto a line and it pulls you up. I want one. I mean, I need it for the end of the world. Okay. You can do this too. I gotta say, you have to bring in better mats. I mean, this is where I want to live. The Death Star treehouse. So you need food. Yeah, I'm starting my cache here of mate. This is actually a major problem we have in the States with. I'm actually got plans to reverse engineer mate because you can't have a hacker group and not have mate. Where? You have my full attention. Okay, let's talk. Yes. Wow, you just made my day. Okay, so let's kind of be serious. How many could actually live with the food we've got for like a month? I mean, yeah. This is a cool project I found, and I like, my favorite part of projects is actually the disclaimer. And I like this one, I mean really, I like collect disclaimers. And this one is, one deep breath of pure ammonia gas will kill a human being. If you are not a mechanically inclined person who pays close attention to details, do not attempt to build one of these units. And I think it's cool, but I think you need more propane, you need a lot of propane, because it's like 5 to 7 pounds of ice. That's all. Just seems like a lot of propane after 90 minutes. So this is a really cool project. This is one that's on my list to make. This is a soda can stove. It takes 2 soda cans, and you basically cut them. I have a little picture of cutting it. And this is a really, I thought this was a really clever way to cut it. You fill it with plaster, so that you don't destroy the integrity of the can by like trying to cut it and make it all mushy, because you need it straight. It needs to be an exact fit. You're not, because it heats up really hot. You could use JB Weld, I guess, but most people just get it really tight so it fits really well, and it just takes like denatured alcohol or something in there. And it turns out that backpackers, this is better than anything you can spend $300 on. And I like that it's on the Church of Genius wallpaper there. Okay, so this is another project for making a little fishing reel. I think that's a good idea. You need water, and so this is somebody who is in a developing country, and he came up with this idea that he's kind of distributing. This is how you can do this, and what he's done is he got a bunch of clay. And he let it dry out, and then he pulverized it, and then he mixed it with coffee grounds, and then he added water to it and made a little cup out of it, and then fired it over manure, and it made this, you know, clay pot. And then when it was fired, it like incinerated the coffee, and somehow that makes it basically a really great strainer. And I think that's handy. You can also do this cool thing with a water still. And the thing is, what you do is, yeah, I've heard that actually Germans, there's some program that aired with somebody who has a mustache, and they did this program about all the things you can do with pee. I need to see this. Anyway, right, move. So this is just a water still. You just have a piece of plastic over a bucket, and you can put like mud in it or whatever you want, and the water evaporates, gets on the plastic, and then it drips down into the cup. You can also do this by digging a hole and basically doing the same thing without the bowl, with just like that. And if you use black plastic, it's a little bit faster, I think. This is another one. I don't know how I added that drop shadow, but I think it's cool. And this is, you know, steam pressure pot. And interesting thing about this is I did some research on, this is a distiller. And it turns out, like, moonshiners in the States, we had prohibition for a while, so all these people made their own alcohol. And one of the things that moonshiners would do is they'd distill the alcohol, like, 4 times. And when they would always test it on their dogs. And if their dogs went blind, that was bad. tools. So my friend Melvin made this insanely cool business card. I'm sure you've seen it. It's on the internet. It's basically a lockpick set as a business card. And I need a set of bump keys at some point. And then, you know, it's always helpful to just have a bolt cutter. So this guy made a bow for $20. I think that's cool. So I had to have something about eating in here. And so I decided if I was in the forest, I would want to catch rabbits. In the States, this is actually really rare that you would eat rabbits. I had a friend growing up who actually had a rabbit farm, and he would make his own rabbits and kill them and eat them because he liked that. But it's actually really rare. I hear actually that you eat it here pretty regularly. But now you don't have to pay for it. So there's two ways. You've got a little contraption that will trap it, and then you could, if you don't, then you'd have to kill it yourself, of course, or you can do the deadfall, where the it knocks a little thing and the rock falls on it. Here's how to eat a rabbit. This is true. You feed it carrots before you kill it. Apparently, this affects the taste and makes them taste better. This pee thing is a theme for me. I don't know why, but you hold the rabbit in your left hand, unless you're right-handed, and unless you're left-handed, and then you hold it in your right hand, and then you squeeze the stomach, and actually the pee comes out, because the worst thing you can do with a rabbit, and this is different from other kinds of game, is the pee will get all over the place and it'll spoil the meat. Quote, it's skinning it is not that dissimilar from opening a book, so it can't be that hard. And then you get six pieces of meat. Apparently the ribs, if you're hardcore, you can use, like, there's just a little bit of meat there, and you can use that for soup. And I'm told you cook it like chicken, but that it won't taste like chicken unless it's quite young, because most chicken is, like, only 6 weeks old. So you need a gas mask. And my favorite part, this is from Modern Mechanics, which, if you don't know about it, is a really awesome website that has old school, like, cool things from this magazine, Modern Mechanics. And my favorite part of this is that it's an ingenious Scandinavian inventor, and you can just see from that design that it's Scandinavian somehow. So there's this guy named Jake who's got the steampunk workshop. He isn't by chance here, is he? That would be really cool. Okay, cool. He's got a really cool site, too, and he made this. He was getting tired. If he just had to use some spray paint, he has his whole rebreather set up, and he just wanted to be able to stick something in his mouth and be able to do it and then be done. And so he made this little scuba respirator. He also made this insanely cool respirator, and this is using an automotive air filter, which... And then he's got a little fan and batteries in there. So, I want one. What about the internets? This is actually, you're going to be disappointed because I don't have that much for you, but this is my biggest fear. Like, what if I can't Twitter that it's the end of the world? So I'm curious about local networking solutions, but I don't really have an answer for this. I think it's theoretically. If we were all in a room together and the internet ceased to exist, I feel like we could still work something out. Elisa says backups. What's that? Yeah, yes, I need to learn more about that. The hams have their own data network, he says. Elisa says backup systems are in place, otherwise she will cut hair. Okay, so I put in there, like, what if there's a robot uprising? And somehow that made it into, like, the tagline for it. And I'm like, oh, now I have to actually figure out what would happen if there's a robot uprising. And, like, you know, what if, like, we have, like, a Terminator-type situation, or, like, what was AI, or what was that movie with the kind of, like, white robots that went after Will Smith? iRobot. No! What if that happens? Of course, then you have to befriend the old robots and make them, yeah. We'll probably be the robots. I think actually in doing research for this, there's so much insanely cool stuff about cybernetics out there. And personally, I want like a little display readout or just colors. I'd be happy with three embedded LEDs that basically like say like you've had too much sugar, you're going to get diabetes. Red, red, red. Yeah, let's get on that. Okay, so I think the first thing to do is just take them apart. If you have young people in your life, just get them screwdrivers instantly. Yeah, really. And then make them take apart your VHS machine. And then your DVD machine. And so this is a project that I guess came out of here, actually. This little pocket EMP, it's you take a disposable camera and you take a piece of wire, and instead of shooting all that electricity to the flash, it shoots it to the wire that's wound up, and this creates an electromagnetic burst. And so if you don't want your friends to be able to get into work anymore and they have low frequency RFID tags, it doesn't work on the high frequency ones, you can just pop this, you just pop it over their card and it won't work anymore. Or you could put it over a robot and they would cease to function. Yeah, yeah. So one of the interesting things about searching, so this is a model of how an EMP works. So really interesting. So I'm looking for one of the ways you can make an EMP is with a microwave, and it works and it's pretty powerful. And there was this like 14-year-old kid who was like, "Mom, can I make an EMP out of her old microwave?" And the mom was like, "Yeah, sure, honey." Yeah. And so we did, and it caused some problems. You know him. Okay, that's so cool. So in doing this research, I realized one of the things that you see a lot of is that a lot of what comes up are all these technical specifications for military use. And it turns out that in a worst case situation, like this is almost worse than the internet's not working, would be like if all of a sudden somebody went down the street with giant EMPs and I mean, what if somebody came by with an EMP and like blasted the hell out of this building? That would suck. So, we need Faraday cages. How am I doing for time? I'm okay? Okay, good. Okay, so the way Faraday cages work, they're really cool. So, like, he can actually, yeah, I mean, that looks really dumb. But there's these really cool laws of electricity that the electricity actually travels. He's got this cage grounded, and the electricity travels on the outside of it. And I've seen a few people do this, and not me, I want one. But the other thing is that you can use this to like safeguard your stuff. So on my list of things to do is to actually get one of my hard drives and use that as an actual, like, okay, this is the stuff that I really need in the apocalypse hard drive, and put it in a metal box, and then take a wire to that metal box and a big copper rod, and you know, make it so that it's waterproof, and put it in the backyard, and drive the rod into the ground. So if there is an EMP, like one of the major places you can find an EMP is if there's like a nuclear blast, of course, and if there is a nuclear blast that happens, I want my data safe. Yeah. Okay. So you got your own shit kit. Again. Okay. So feel like that was more I wanted to say about Faraday cages, except they're really cool. So you can just research that if you like. So things I want to make but really don't know how. So this is kind of like my wish list of things I should have put on this. But so I want a better way than ham radio to stay in touch, or I want to get actually the ham radio thing working, and I want it to be easier, like kind of like the way, I don't know. Yeah. I really, so night vision, totally possible. I guess you can just use a flashlight, but it's not green. I guess you could have a green flashlight, but yeah. So social engineering skills, I got a recommendation to read this pretext book, which is a CIA book. I just actually need more practice. So if you can think of something else that I should make before or after the end of the world, let me know. And yeah. Thank you very much. I don't know if there's really any questions you can ask me, but if you ask them, I'll say words afterwards. Oh, yes. You know what? Here, just come up here, because you're awesome. Let's give her a round of applause.
So there's actually a great series of books that were published by a school just outside of the Appalachian Mountains in the U.S. called the Foxfire Books. They're absolutely great, and they have a bunch of skills listed like this, like their skills on how to kill a deer that you found or how to make a banjo out of a gourd. It's absolutely fantastic, and they're books that I would want in the apocalypse, definitely.
What's your name?
I'm Mariah.
Mariah. God. Thank you. Interesting history on the Foxfire books. They were started by this teacher who went to go teach in the mountains, and they gave him these books to teach the kids, and the kids were like, shut up. And so he's like, oh, let's do something relevant. Go ask your parents what's cool and what they did that is going away. And they actually made 6 giant books that document 12. So I have some collecting to do. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to the next talk. I hope you'll all stay here. And good night.